Am I recording?
Check, 1, 2.
All right. So, how's the tour going so far?
Been very good, man. A little tiring. There's a little bug going around, so everybody's got the creeping crud right now. But no, we're doing good.
Now, you have a new album out called The Crucible of Man. Did I pronounce that right? Crucible of Man. Okay, Crucible Man. And it's about your Something Wicked concept that you've had for quite a long time. And maybe, I don't know, could you give me a brief overview on what the concept is about?
It's kind of hard to do it briefly, but it's this takes place. The opening is the birth of Set Abominé, who's the main character of the story. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's basically an antichrist-like being to humankind, but he's the savior of his own race. So that's a very complicated story, but it stretches over the course. He's born 6 months before Christ, and then it comes up, the end of the album comes up to modern day. So there's a lot of different elements that go through it.
Now, you had this concept obviously in mind for a long time, and why have you waited so long to actually do an album with it?
Well, the original plan was to do it after the Something Wicked This Way Comes album, which was the reason that was titled that way, and I put the trilogy on the end of the record, the Something Wicked trilogy, as an introduction to what was to be next, and I decided to put the whole concept on hold because of the situation with Century Media, and I knew I wasn't going to re-sign with them, so we did the horror show album, and that was the end of our contract. Then we signed with SPV. And I really wanted to be sure that they were the right label to deliver the concept to. And then 9/11 had happened, and my head was kind of somewhere else anyway. So that's why the Glorious Burden happened. And then, you know, they did a good job on the Glorious Burden, and we decided to go ahead and do the Something Wicked parts 1 and 2. And they actually have kind of dropped the ball on it. So, you know, the work for the records, they're experiencing some financial trouble, and of course that trickles down to all the artists. So, but you know, that's where we're at now.
So, you know, you have Matt Barlow back in the band, and you know, how did that end up happening, getting him back in?
I think kind of by a trick of fate, actually. We spoke on the phone after our European tour, and I had heard about him doing this thing with the project of the band called Pyramaze, and it made me think that he was probably missing the music, so doing music. And so we spoke, and he said, yeah. I said, so, man, are you missing it? And he said, yeah, I am, you know. And at first we actually spoke about doing another project together, starting something else, because it never really entered my mind that he would be able to do Iced Earth, you know, with his career as a cop and stuff. But the more we spoke, that didn't really make sense, you know. So we just decided, hey, let's do it. Let's give it a shot. Because there would have been a change anyway. After Crucible, if Tim had done Crucible, there would have definitely been a change, because it just wasn't working out. I mean, we did some great stuff in the studio. Tim's an amazing vocalist, but, you know, I felt like there was really something lacking from a live standpoint. It's the difference. Even the guys that were in the band before Matt was, there was always this sense of, like, you know, a true believer's being on stage, and the spirit of the show was always just really intense and really incredible, and that seemed to change quite a bit. So I just think it's, you know, Tim's more concerned with doing his own thing, and we're, you know, we're Iced Earth. So
would you you know, basically the statement I'm thinking of, would you just basically say that some guys are just meant to jam together? I mean, they're just meant, some people's music, they just play well together and they mesh well together. Would you say that's probably more or less like maybe a musical chemistry is so good that, I mean, you know, I mean, having them back's a great thing?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely some truth to that. I think it's a matter of, you know, you can get any group of musicians together that are really good and make some really good sounds. But at the end of the day, all that band or that group of people still has to have a driving force that is gonna lead the band, that is gonna have direction, that's gonna write the songs to make it happen. And that's the one, you know, that's actually my job in this band. That's why I started this band. So I mean, it is good having Matt back. It is, you know, there's definitely a camaraderie there. We spend a lot of time together and stuff. So you know, I think what Tim and I did together is also very cool stuff, certainly from a recorded standpoint. I just think something was lacking in the live shows, and that has to do with heart. You know, you got to be really committed and really believe in what you're doing. You can't look at it as a job, like you're just going to punch in on the punch clock. You got to be a true believer. Otherwise, the people see through that stuff.
Now, you were talking earlier about the label having financial problems. Do you think maybe like a lot of illegal downloading has caused some of that?
Oh, I'm sure of it. It's totally hurting the entire industry. There's no doubt about that. But I think in SBB's case, it's also some mismanagement, you know, signing bands for like way too much money that probably weren't really valued at that kind of, you know, there's just been a lot of bad decisions making in the last, probably about the last 10 years, really, and it's catching up with them now. But there's no doubt that from a standpoint of the illegal downloading, I mean, that's hurting every label on the earth and the bands, frankly. I mean, it's hurting everybody.
Could you maybe see with what's going on with this? I mean, it's even though they bust people doing a lot of this stuff, they, you know, still having a hard time preventing it. Could you maybe see something as, you know, like an artist, for example, you know, goes on tour to promote the album? Could you see something maybe like recording the album to promote the tour at all?
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of what it's turning into, you know. But unfortunately, you know, there's another side to that. There's only so many dollars in the marketplace. So all these bands that now are not making money on album sales are all touring. Well, people can't afford to go to every tour out there. When we toured the UK with Heaven and Hell, there was like 5 arena shows going on the same week that we were in any given city in the UK. Motorhead, Alice Cooper, you know, whatever, Linkin Park. I mean, enough kinds of music, all playing the local Enorma Dome the exact same week, 5 shows a week. And it was just that they're being hammered over in Europe with tours. Mm-hmm. So because of that, attendance is down for bands that would normally sell out shows. So it's kind of screwing everything up in multiple ways. And I don't even know. I mean, yes, you have to look at it now is that there is some truth to that you have to look at the album as a marketing ploy for the tour. But again, it's affecting tours as well.
Now, I had a couple people call me, email me, and stuff like that, and there was a video release for Live in Athens, and you know, a lot of people were telling me that it wasn't, I guess, the greatest looking thing in the world. And do you have any comment on that being? Do you have anything to do with that being released? I guess.
No, that's a typical Century Media ploy to keep making money after we're not on the label anymore. I mean, just to cash in on the continued success of the band. And they'll keep doing this kind of stuff. I told people, like on the website, as soon as I heard about it, that, look, this was not done with my authorization. This was the filming of that show was merely done for a show called Viva in Germany. They flew down for the weekend. I hosted the show. It was like a German MTV, you know, Headbangers Ball kind of thing. And I played some videos from some other bands, and there was like 2 songs from Iced Earth from the shows that they were to use. But there was only 3 cameras, and it was not a professional situation. So it's like a total bootleg, and then they did, on top of everything else, they did a really bad job editing it. So I told people, don't buy this unless it's something you really want in your collection, but don't feel like this is something that Iced Earth is really behind, because I'm not, you know, I don't endorse that.
Now, you've been making records for a number of years, and you know, obviously technology in music production has gotten, I guess, a lot less expensive as far as that goes. And what's it like making a record, say, now as opposed to when you guys first started out?
Well, it's in some ways it's less expensive. It depends on how you do it. I mean, it's actually was more expensive for me because I had to invest into all of the gear. Now, after I record 5 or 6 albums in my own studio, it'll pay off. But the initial investment is more than I've ever spent on any album before. You know, there are a lot of different software programs that you can do now you can make sounds, but I think to really do it right, you still need to spend the money on the good stuff. And it's different. I mean, the tape costs, I actually miss recording on analog tape, especially guitars, because there's a certain warmth and tape saturation and this punch that you get that you don't get on digital hard disk recording. I mean, it just, you know, it's just not there. It's close, and it's definitely gotten better than it was even 6 or 8 years ago. But, you know, I still, there's things I miss about the old way of recording, for sure. And if the tape costs weren't so astronomical right now, I mean, I'm very seriously considering doing the next album, at least doing the guitars and maybe the drums on analog tape. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, you know, when the time comes.
Right. That's
to edit, and that's the best. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's what we're, the tapes aren't cheap.
I know, it's like $350 for 16 minutes. Yeah. You know, so we'll see.
So you know now coming from a live standpoint, have you? You guys are, you guys seem to be doing a lot better as far as exposure goes. I mean, America, when I, first saw Iced Earth play, you guys came to show here, God, it had been like 11 years ago, and like there may be five people show up, and now you guys, I mean, I've seen the album and Billboard and stuff like that, and you know, what do you attribute to a lot of your success? And if you're telling a band that's maybe starting out, what would you tell them, advice-wise, going into music?
Well, there's nothing to attribute it to except for determination and just steadfast work. I mean, that's the only thing that you really can do, because nobody's going to wave a magic wand and make you successful overnight. You know, you have to, you just have to work, and you have to put yourself out there. And I think, today it's scarier today than it was even when I started. It was very saturated when I started this thing, and we got signed almost 20 years ago. Nowadays, the labels are wanting, because of the state of the industry, they want a 360 deal from a band. That means they want income from touring, they want merchandise, they want your publishing, they want every single bit of income that they can get from the band, they want a piece of it, which is ridiculous because all they do is manufacture and sell records. But this is the way it's turning into. And so to be a baby band right now, I mean, it's kind of scary, but I think my best advice always is a good work ethic and being determined and not being afraid of hard times you're gonna succeed if you just don't quit. You keep your nose to the grindstone, and if you do that, I think, and if you're, you gotta have multiple things going. You gotta be able to write good music, number one. That's the first, because without that, really nothing else matters. You got to have that. You've got to have the vision of a cool, not necessarily a gimmick, but a vision for your band that makes you kind of stand out. You know, one thing that young bands tend to do is always follow trends of what happens to be popular now. That will get you nowhere. You know, don't worry about what another band is doing. You got to look inside your heart and be true to your art. Find out what you're doing. And if you've got something special to say, people will notice eventually. You just got to keep hammering it, man. Just keep hammering it.
How did the, I was going to ask you, how did the Prog Power Festival go for you guys?
It was good. It was a good festival. I mean, we had some technical problems, like in the very last song where my guitar rig completely took a shit. So uh-huh. it was a drag. We had just to stop the show. Other than that, it was great. You know, it was a long day. You know, we got started really late, so I think people were a little bit tired, but it was still, it was a good, I think it was a good close to the show. Fans seemed very happy.
I guess my one last thing for you is that I was going to ask you if you could do a station ID for me.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have something to write with? Or any paper or anything?
Well, what is it?
Well, the name of the show is The Metal Command. Mm-hmm. My name and year is Officer Metal. 88.3 WBWC.
All right, let me just try it.
Okay.
This is John Schaefer with Metal Command on 88.3 WBWC. Is that right?
No, what is it? Metal Command Show with Officer Metal on 88.3 WBWC.
All right, you're going to have to write it down because that's too much stuff.
Yeah, give me one second.
Do I have to say Officer Metal?
Yeah. You did it before, a long time ago. I need to find, do I have a pen on me?
I don't know, but I don't.
Give me one second to go stop this. Stop.